Thank you, Chris Morales. Time for the scoop. All right, Momo, we all know that the ratings were down for the NBA Finals this year. And there are extraordinary circumstances, lots of sports going on, weird times, all that stuff. But the NBA announced that they have set new digital media records for the league this year with 6.9 billion video views on social channels since the season restarted, 2.6 billion video views on Instagram, a billion video views during the finals across all platforms, 321 million YouTube views during the postseason, and 61 million YouTube views during the finals. Obviously, people are consuming these games. Momo, do we put too much stock in ratings now that people are getting content in so many other ways?
Yeah, I think that's what the NBA and pretty much everyone is struggling with right now. Every league is that there's interest in the NBA at levels I've never seen before. I think the NBA is more popular than it's ever been, and yet it doesn't translate to ratings. What does that mean? Maybe people like the highlights. Maybe people like the drama, but they don't actually watch the games. Like, maybe the product is actually just the highlights, the finish, the et cetera, and that's what ends up on the internet.
And right, and that's what people consume, right? I mean, people consume sporting events in little memes and little GIFs and video clips and interview clips and all that stuff. That is the way we consume. Now, the way I look at Twitter, Momo, is it's like a second window. So as I'm watching the
second
game,
screen.
I can have comments flying up the page as I sit on my tweet deck and I look at everything. So it becomes like a second window. I can find stats. I can find numbers. I can find takes. I can find all kinds of stuff. But I think that realistically, TV ratings aren't the be-all and end-all when it comes to any sport now. It's how much can you get in the faces of particularly Generation Z. Teenagers, young 20s. I mean, those are the people that you got to target. And those people are all on IG and they're all on TikTok and they're all on YouTube. So you got to put it out there. The NBA did. I would call that really, really successful in terms of social media. And to me, it's reassuring about the ratings.
I think it's reassuring. And I think it's just where everything in the world is going. It's not just sports. Like, ratings on any network are down because people don't just watch the network. They watch little clips. They watch videos. They watch – like, I don't really watch SNL anymore. I watch the YouTube channel.
The YouTube highlights, yeah.
Yeah. I watch –
yeah, I mean,
I
don't watch the late-night talk show hosts, but afterwards they leave their games or that one guy sings songs with people. What's that guy's name? The chubby guy who sings songs with people?
Oh, James Corden. Yeah, I love that.
James Corden, there you go.
Yeah.
And I just watch those clips afterwards.
Yeah, me too. That's what we watch. I mean, because we watch – most of the SNL is not really fun. I mean, I like Weekend Update, and I like the cold open. I like a few of the skits. But I don't – when I watch it, I used to just kind of tape it, and then I would fast forward through the dumb skits, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where the world is going.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, every time I'm on any show now, I kind of think – you know, Rachel Nichols is great at this. Whenever she does a segment on The Jump, she just does a YouTube highlight and puts it up there. Puts it on her Instagram page. Yeah.
Really smart. All right, it's to you.
Le'Veon Bell is signing with the Kansas City Chiefs after being released by the Jets. He's going to take some carries away from rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who has struggled on goal line plays this season. But the question is, how much does Bell really have to give? Since the start of 2019, he's averaged 3.2 yards per rush, which ranks 49th out of 50 players with at least 100 rushes over that span. Is this an impact signing? Is this a nothing?
I would love to say that it's a nothing because I think the Chiefs have got enough riches. But somehow I think Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy are going to find a way to deploy Le'Veon Bell in the right situations, and it's going to be impact stuff. So, yeah, I believe he's still got something in the tank. He's not a primary lead running back anymore. But in spots, I think he is going to be very, very dangerous for them. So I do think he's an impact guy. What do you think?
Oh, totally. I think him sucking for the Jets is more a function of the Jets sucking.
Yep.
Right? Like when you're in an offense without an offensive line and, you know, they're trying to make Sam Darnold happen and he's injured or he's got mono or whatever. I mean, I think that's more about them than him. And sometimes when you get a player and you just kind of turn, it's like Carmelo Anthony, like on the on the Knicks or the Rockets or whatever. I mean, just put them on a good team and they'll look a lot better.
Yeah, no question. No question. All right. There are some really good NFL matchups on Sunday. I'm going to give you two quarterbacks facing each other. You tell me which quarterback you would play for fantasy purposes.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson in Houston versus Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee.
Oh. Okay, so Houston is playing
Tennessee? Is playing Tennessee. It's Deshaun Watson versus Ryan Tannehill.
I think I'm playing Tannehill.
Yeah, I would
I
play
love
Tannehill
Deshaun
also.
Watson, but I think Tennessee is a better defense.
Okay, Brown's playing the Steelers. Baker Mayfield or Ben Roethlisberger? Who's best for fantasy purposes?
I would play Roethlisberger because OBJ's out with something. I don't know if he's out or if he's sick. Or
yeah, he's sick. He's been cleared from COVID. He had a negative COVID test.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good, though. Doesn't sound good.
But, yeah, I like Roethlisberger no matter what in that game.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. It's Green Bay versus Tampa. Which quarterback has the better day in fantasy, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
So I'm cheating because I asked Matthew Berry this one a little bit. I have Aaron Rodgers. I also have Cam Newton. He said he would play Aaron Rodgers because he thinks that Rodgers-Brady is going to be a shootout. So I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers on that one just because I hope he does really well for my fantasy team.
By the way, I think my prediction that Tampa is going to miss the playoffs has a chance to be real now. Tampa has
Who's
looked
in that
pretty pedestrian. New Orleans.
Like, yeah, the 3-2. Wait, so Tampa's 3-2, right?
Yeah.
I think they'll make it.
Yeah,
I think they'll
get
better as the season goes on. But
fall to 3-3 this weekend, and we'll see.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There's just nobody that great in that division, so I think they might get lucky.
All right, it's to you.
All right. Defensive end Myles Garrett said Friday that he's gotten over last year's incident against the Steelers in which he ripped the helmet off Mason Rudolph and slugged the Pittsburgh quarterback in the head with it. Garrett said, "We'll see when we play, but their head coach Mike Tomlin said they're past it. We're past it as a team. We're ready to go out there and play ball." Mace, you're a guy who has had a lot of grudges. Some of them are actually real.
Yes, some of them are real.
How do you get over them?
You know, I have gotten over most of them. Actually, I don't think I have an open grudge with anybody right now.
No.
The best way to handle it is to go talk to that person.
Right.
And there was a particular person, I won't even dredge up the name anymore, but there was a particular person that I had a grudge against who I finally saw at a Lakers game and we spoke and it was all over. It all just disappeared. The other thing you got to keep in mind is when you spend energy hating somebody, it means you have hate that you're dealing with in yourself. And I think it was John Wooden who said, "Forgiveness makes you whole."
Yeah.
Which that line has always stuck with me. So I do have real, I have had real feuds. I have mostly fake feuds now. Feuds are fun. They don't have to be all serious. I have fake feuds.
I also think that feuds tend to hurt both sides. Like they don't end up anywhere positive for either person. And I also have learned, and it sounds like a funny line, but it's true. Yeah, I remember when Mike Brown was fired. Do you remember that? Like five games into the year.
Sure, five games into the year and D'Antoni came in, yeah.
Yeah, and he got fired and it was kind of like he went to like a McDonald's with his kids afterwards In-N-Out. Remember that story?
Right.
And I remember calling him going, "Hey, you really weren't, were you mad? Were you upset? You're like pouring your heart into this. I know you got binders, you know, of all the plays and defense." You know, he's teaching the Princeton offense. And he goes, "No, you know what? Bernie Bickerstaff was his mentor." And he said, "Just remember, this is really a long game. This is really like this, you're not in it for this moment. You're in it to stay around for a long time. And if you burn a bridge right now, if you blow up, if you get mad, it comes back around in bad ways. It ends up looking bad on you." And I think that's really smart because there's so many times in my life where I get, or career, whatever, you get really mad at somebody and you have a choice of like, am I going to
hold that or am I going to let it go?
And like 3 years later, I look back and I'm like, "Ooh, I'm glad I didn't do that."
Yeah.
Because that
person
ends up in my life in some other position and I have to either work for them or deal with them or be around, you know, and it's just not worth it.
Yeah. All right. The 2018 Super Bowl Rams got off to a sluggish start last year, remember. Ultimately, they didn't make the playoffs. They finished 9-7. This year, the Niners are coming off the Super Bowl, and they are off to a really rough 2-3 start. I asked Sean McVay this week if there's any such thing as a Super Bowl hangover, and he said no. When Kyle Shanahan was asked about this, he said, I mean, just like you said, the Super Bowl hanging over is just the big question you've got to answer all the time, and especially when you don't have an off-season program. So it kind of lingers even longer because, I mean, the first time we came back after the Super Bowl was training camp, so it was kind of right there with the questions and stuff. Momo, Sean McVay says no such thing as a Super Bowl hangover. Kyle Shanahan seems to indicate that there is. What do you think?
I totally think there is, especially for the loser, especially for the team that loses the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Because they lost for a reason. I mean, look at the Falcons when they lost, you know, to the Patriots that year. Oh, I mean, Dan Quinn's gone. Just gone. Right?
Yep.
Like, and they've really never been the same. They're talking about maybe not
having keeping Matt Ryan and all stuff. Yeah.
You know, and I think
Niners now. Niners, Jimmy Garoppolo's been awful. They're like, this is a defining game. Let's see if Jimmy Garoppolo is a franchise quarterback. I mean, they are in it's a mess up there.
It's a mess up there. And I think what it is, it's a little like when you win Coach of the Year. It's like usually you won Coach of the Year because you overachieved.
Yeah.
And you had the narrative with you. When you lose the Super Bowl, you raise expectations. You raise expectations and then you disappoint the people, and if you fall anywhere short of that,
yep,
it really puts a lot of pressure on you. And I think it's particularly for the losing team.
Yeah, without question, for the losing team. All right, there you have it. There is your scoop for today. Got a bunch of stuff in there. Big NFL weekend. We should mention that there was a positive COVID test.
From the Patriots.
And so the Patriots have shut down their facilities. They've got a game with the Broncos this weekend. The Colts originally had positive COVID tests. Then they turned out to be false positives. So their game with the Bengals is likely to be played. So here's where that comes into play. If you play DraftKings like I do, I just had to switch up my lineup. If you play fantasy, it means you're going to lose the opportunity to play potentially Cam Newton. It means you're going to lose the potential of playing somebody like Julian Edelman. So you've got to look at your fantasy rosters really close and make sure you don't have any Patriots Broncos in it if that game is, in fact, postponed as the NFL continues to deal with the ongoing pandemic crisis. All right. So speaking of crisis, Los Angeles Dodger fans are in crisis right now. Momo, we are in crisis.
Yeah.
And I got my heart broken last night. I thought last night was going to be the night. Last night was perfectly set up. We're down 2-1. We're coming off a big game where we scored 11 runs in the first inning, and we have got our ace, Clayton Kershaw, on the mound. And he gave them five solid innings. Fell apart in the sixth. Dave Roberts probably stuck with him one batter too long. Mm-hmm. Offensively, Bryce Wilson threw strikes all night long, a rookie for the Braves, and the Dodgers hacked away, and they were not patient throughout the night. So there's a lot to unwind from this game, and a lot of people are venting, and we want to give people a chance to vent. 877-710-ESPN. Whose fault is this? 877-710-ESPN. A lot of people blaming Dave Roberts. I'd love to hear that argument. 877-710-ESPN. We'll get some of your calls coming up next here. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keep your head up, Dodger fans. Keep your head up. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Last night, a tough one. Momo's in for John today. And off the air, we're talking about how we're losing weight. how are we cutting weight?
Yeah.
Momo, you're down how much?
I eat half a sandwich.
Nice.
20.
Down 20?
Pounds, dude.
Good
That's
for
like
you,
the
Momo.
Most, I'm 20. And I have I have a goal in my mind, okay? Yep. I'm going to get down to my playing weight. So wow. I have another 20 to go from there, all right?
Damn.
I know. But if I can do it, that's going to be like a really big deal.
Hardcore. Yeah, no,
hardcore.
I'm trying. I'm down 14.
I do it real slow.
Yeah,
that's
the way to do it.
That's awesome. So what's your secret?
My secret is I'm only eating one meal a day. I'm starving most of the time.
Oh.
Eat less, weigh less. That's my slogan.
Eat less, weigh less. Yeah.
Yep.
I eat small meals throughout the day.
That's smart.
I went in that during the break, I took one piece of bread and I took one piece of turkey and I put a little mayonnaise on it and that's lunch.
Yeah, that's the whole
eat every two hours thing. Or 3 hours.
Yeah.
How many
diets
do you have? And don't eat at night.
No.
Yeah, if you got to eat at night, you got to have like a piece of...
And no donuts.
How many
tonight, by the way, is total... Tonight, by the way, is total cheat night. Tonight's total cheat night. Friday night's total cheat night.
Uh-huh.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
I'm down with that. I agree.
How about some Popeyes?
Mm-hmm.
Love that chicken from Popeyes. Get a couple of them spicy chicken sandwiches.
Oh, man.
Didn't you get sick from the coleslaw last week?
I don't think it was the coleslaw.
Have the coleslaw again, mate.
Yeah, no, I'm going to skip the coleslaw. All right, so aside from all that, we're distracting you from the breaking, upsetting, disappointing, disillusioning story of the day, which is that the Dodgers, in what I think was a must-win situation last night, weren't good at the plate, weren't good at the mound. Clayton Kershaw didn't pitch well. The bullpen was terrible. But a lot of people are trying to pinpoint like one thing. Like, what's the one thing that you would have done different last night? Let's go to the phones. Okay, 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Momo, for me, I agree with Boog Shambi. And actually Bill Plachke, who was on here a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at that sixth inning, and again, unfortunately, it all comes down to Kershaw. It just always comes down to Kershaw. And last night was yet another situation. Sixth inning, Kershaw cruised through five. And he was good. He was good. Gave up a home run, but otherwise was good. Clayton Kershaw started his third time through the lineup. And this is a big thing. Third time through the lineup, you're giving hitters a chance to see your stuff again. And this is why you see a lot of starters go five, a lot of starters go six, because they want a fresh arm to face that lineup the third time through. But Dave Roberts stuck with Kershaw for the sixth inning. Acuna, infield single, standing at second base after a throwing error. I understand Kershaw versus Freddie Freeman because you've got a lefty-on-lefty matchup. Unfortunately, Freeman doubled a run home. So at this point, we're 3-1.
Yeah.
And Dave Roberts elects to keep Kershaw in the game to face right-hander Marcell Ozuna. And he could have gone to Buster Gratterall. He stuck with Kershaw, gave up a double to Ozuna, and then Roberts went to Gratterall. He should have gone to Gratterall earlier in that inning.
Ozuna, who had already homered off Kershaw, who had already hit a home run off Kershaw,
good point,
was obviously seeing him pretty well.
And you let him face him again.
Full count.
Yep.
And you let him face him again.
Yep.
Alex Rodriguez told you what happens on a full count with Clayton Kershaw.
Yes, he did. He laid it out perfectly what happens on a full count. Actually, do you have that? Do you have that A-Rod saying exactly how you face Clayton Kershaw in a postseason situation?
One of the things, I'm going to bring you inside the dugout on how Poppy and Big Hurt and I would talk if we were facing a guy like Kershaw. Number one, I remember 95, 3-2 pitch when the Yankees played the Mariners. 150 pitches for David Cone, 3-2 split to Doug Strange and walked them.
Dang.
We will say he'll never give in. If we're talking, Poppy, you and I, we're going to say, okay, give me two scouting reports on Kershaw. And we'll say, okay, make sure nobody's listening. All right, fellas, here's the thing. Back off the plate. Mm-hmm. He's going to throw in, cheat in, and every time he'll throw it there. And then number two, if you get to a 3-2 count, you can swing. He'll never walk you. He does not want to walk you.
Right.
That's very comforting. You just get in swing mode. 3-2 pitch is the pitch that hitters chase the most. If you have a guy that's not willing to walk you, it's just comfortable. You just start your swing, and like that 3-2 curve by Osuna, if he bounces it as a strikeout, because Osuna wants to swing.
Right, and so, coming in tonight, 19 strikeouts, one walk, to your point.
You can't let your ego stubborn. Exactly. You got to be able to play poker.
So there it is, not playing poker, according to A-Rod. There's A-Rod taking you inside and at bat against Clayton Kershaw. He's not going to walk you. He's throwing you a strike.
It's almost like he called Marcell Ozuna. Yeah, it makes, yeah. That's exactly what Marcell Ozuna did in both of his at-bats there. The home run he hit was on an inside pitch. Yep. So he was cheating inside. He knew Kershaw was going to try to bust him inside on his hands. And then the double is on a 3-2 pitch. He knows Kershaw is going to throw him a strike, and he's swinging. It's like he just called down to the dugout and said, Marcell, what was the scouting report?
Right. Actually, let's do some of this. Dave Roberts talked after the game last night. Jorge, you probably have this stuff. Here's Dave talking about Kershaw's playoff woes.
It's a deep bullpen. It's a talented bullpen. We've shown it. I think that you got to give credit at times to hitters where we get two strikes and they fight. They put the ball in play. And if you do that, you
kill
might
that,
find some,
that,
some hits out there.
The one we're looking for is Kershaw playoff woes.
He came out and, you know, five innings, one run. And then, what happened right there in that sixth inning. But he gave us a chance to win the baseball game. You know, we couldn't put any runs up early and get a lead and or hold a lead, you know, after the Eddie home run. But that narrative couldn't be further from the truth.
And here is Dave Roberts on leaving Kershaw in to face Marcell Ozuna.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the inning prior, the fourth inning, it was a clean inning. He punched the last guy and, you know, you induce weak contact that, you know, tough play and it gets away from the first baseman and he gets second base. And there's another ground ball by the first baseman. We had Freeman way over in the gap, but turned a single into a double. And so, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought Clayton was throwing the baseball really well. And there was no reason. So I just felt really good about it. Yeah.
Here is Clayton Kershaw himself on his struggles in the sixth inning.
It's just kind of playing on turf. You know, he kind of chopped that one up. And, you know, Freddie had two strikes on him and probably just went one too many pitches inside. And he hit it good, but it was on the ground. And still with two strikes, probably got to make a better pitch. And, it's a tough way to go for that sixth inning for sure.
And here is Clayton talking specifically about Marcell Ozuna and that.
He's just a good hitter. You know, he had a great year this year. He's had lots of great years. He's a good hitter. And, I think, I made a few mistakes to him. I think maybe some other guys did too. But he, he didn't miss. That's what good hitters do.
Come on, Grinshaw.
By the way, this is Jorge's dad. Who hit that again, yeah. Jorge.
Come on, Grinshaw.
Come on, Crenshaw. Yesterday was so Crenshaw's good. Crenshaw day at Jorge's dad's house.
Crenshaw day. Not so good.
Oh, man.
So we're going to let you get in here. And I want to say,
the
series is not over. It is not over.
No.
Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Weirder stuff has happened.
You caught yourself there.
I did catch myself.
It was a good job by you.
Yeah.
I hear what Kershaw is saying. I hear what Dave Roberts is saying. Like what they're saying about the Freddie Freeman hit is that it was a ground ball.
They had him shifted wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, he had him shifted wrong. Is that, you know, there's so many times I've been watching baseball recently. Like I think Will Smith got up there and the bases were loaded and he hit the ball right on
hard.
The screws. Ground ball up the middle, and I was like, oh, they're going to score. Bases loaded. And I think this was when I walked away. They had him positioned perfectly.
Perfect,
Ozzie
perfect
Albies
shift.
Was standing right there.
Yep.
Right there. He was standing right up the middle. And I was like, oh. So that's what the Dodgers tried to do to Freddie Freeman. And I think that's the one he hit right at Muncy, and it was like a screaming ground ball, kind of right at Muncy. I think Muncy probably could have got it at first.
Yeah.
It was a screamer. It was a tough hop. It was a screamer. But he didn't even get a glove on it.
Right.
And so I think what they're saying is, look, I got a ground ball. We had him played wrong. We had him played in. We had him played to cut off
right.
the gap.
Right. So in other words, Ozuna, it was a ground ball, infield single, swingy bunt. Freeman,
no,
it was a ground
Acuna,
ball.
Acuna.
Acuna.
Yeah.
Freeman, it was a ground ball. And that's why Dave Roberts said, well, he's given up an infield single and a ground ball where we didn't have the shift right, so I can let him face Ozuna, which is the wrong decision.
Right, and he's saying, and Kershaw actually said another thing that I thought was interesting, is that that's what happens when you're playing on turf.
Yeah.
So he's saying, you know, like the Acuña play, which is the swinging bunt play. I mean, it was just a Texas leaguer. I mean, it's just an infield single. It wasn't a hard hit ball, but it was a weird chop on turf. And I understand that, because that's what we try to do in softball too. We try to chop the ball and spike it up off the ground, right? And that gives you time to. It's almost like being a slap hitter, like Brett Butler used to do, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way that play pit. You know, Kershaw tried to get it, but it bounced over his head, and then you know, Kike had to barehand it. I mean, it was a really weird play. So I get what they're saying. Like, it wasn't like he was falling apart on those two plays.
Exactly.
The pitch he made to Ozuna.
So coming up, we will get to Radio Tinder. The 3 o'clock hour is going to be devoted to you guys, and we'll take a bunch of calls in the 3 o'clock hour. Coming up next for you, I was so excited today, Momo. I was so excited. So I'm Googling around, and you know, now that the Dodgers are down 3-1, I'm like all in on the Rams. I love my Rams. They're 4-1, and I come across this article by Adam Rank. That says the Rams are the best team in the NFC, better than Seattle.
That's what you needed to hear.
And better than Green Bay. I needed that. So Adam Rank is going to come on here next, and then we'll circle back to Dodger baseball. Mason on Ireland, Momo's in for John, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so we're continuing to react to last night and another disappointing night for the Dodgers as they get hammered by the Braves. Clayton Kershaw comes up short once again. Rookie pitcher, and they can't control the strike zone. They just hack away all night. He allowed just one hit in six innings. Dodgers manage only three hits on the night, and they are now on the brink. Game number 5 is tonight. You'll hear it right here on 710 ESPN at 6 o'clock. And you will also hear the Rams on Sunday here, because this is the home of the Los Angeles Rams, my favorite team. And joining us right now is Adam Rank from NFL Network. And it caught my eye when he wrote an article today that said he thinks the Rams are the best team in the NFC. Adam, we've never met, but I already like you.
Oh, my gosh. You have no idea. Like, you have been a huge part of my life, going all the way back to Too Much Show, Schwartz, when you and Mason were doing Cross, Jared and Steve, and all this stuff. So, like honestly, I know I don't get impressed by a lot of things. I see, like, my locker's next to LaDainian Tomlinson. That impresses me not at all. But to be on with the great Steve Mason, this is a crowning achievement. Ramon, you're great, too. I mean, disrespect. But this is,
you know,
this is
I need to do something here.
I'm sorry, yes.
I need to do something here, because my friend Steve Mason has had a tough go of it the last couple of days with the Dodgers losing. And the one thing he loves the most is flattery. So I'm not even going to ask another question.
Yeah.
I just want you to tell him how great he is and why you love him so much.
Let's by the way, thank you very much, Adam. That's really nice. You go all the way back to Too Much Show with Rick Schwartz, was probably 1995 or something.
Wow.
That's way, way, way back. So thank you. I'm glad you finally feel like you've arrived. I wanted you on because you say the Rams are the best team in the NFC. Explain.
Yeah, that's one of my things. Obviously, the Seahawks undefeated. The Packers are undefeated. But the Rams, to me, have been the most impressive. They look like the best team in the NFC. And I think we see them. We already see our mentions, Steve, on Twitter, where they're like, oh, who have they beaten? They've beaten the NFC East. And obviously, it's Madden. It's Madden rookie level.
Hey, Adam, hang on a second. We're having some trouble with your phone. I'm going to put you on hold for 1 minute, and Jorge, see if you can work that out. Thanks, man. We're kind of garbled there. The Rams are the champions of the NFC East. Let's face it. They ran the table.
They'd already beat make the playoffs already.
But I think the important thing about the Rams is that they've made these three cross-country trips and have come out of this really rough patch in the schedule at 4-1. That to me is impressive.
Playing...
And by the way, the loss to Buffalo was, you know, you could have gone either way. There you are, Adam.
Yeah, buddy. No, you were making all the points.
Oh.
And I appreciate. Listen, I gotta let Steve do this. Like, he's the pro, not me. But I really do. Look, that game to Buffalo that you mentioned, is they had that furious rally, and they came back, and they should have won. But listen, we'll take the NFC Championship game against the Saints and lose one to Buffalo during the regular season. Whatever, we don't care about that. But it's been impressive to me that the Rams have gone out. They've had to play three of those games in the 10 a.m. window on the East Coast, which are usually tough for West Coast teams. They went out there, not only handled it well. They scored more than 30 points in all of those games. They've looked strong offensively, defensively. I know that the Seahawks they've had some fun games, and it's great to see Russell Wilson rally them to beat the one-win Vikings. And everybody, who are you? Like that.
Yep, I think we lost him again. All right, well, listen.
Man, this is so sad. This is so sad. Big moment for him.
I know.
And his phone is just not happening.
All right. Well, I did get what I wanted out of him, which was the Rams are the best team in the NFC. But let's face it, I got a lot of affirmation, too. And you know I thrive on affirmation.
I feel like the next 30 minutes of this show is going to be awesome because you're just going to be like flexing.
It is weird to think. I mean, he was referring to something that happened in 1995. So
well,
that would have
I
been,
definitely wasn't listening to you then. No.
Was that 25 years ago? Could that be 25 years ago?
God,
holy.
Don't say that. It is.
Damn. That is crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, coming up next for you, Radio Tinder. Lindsay's going to – by the way, thank you to Adam Rank, and thank you for the article. I tweeted out a little bit earlier. If you're a Rams fan, you definitely should read it. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Then we'll circle back to the Dodgers at the top of the hour and give you guys a chance to vent. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. It's a, I won't say, I guess it's kind of a dark day. It's definitely very cloudy for the Dodgers, down 3-1 against the Atlanta Braves after blowing last night. They got hammered. Clayton Kershaw blown up in the sixth inning. And the Dodgers are on the brink. We will have game 5 for you tonight right here on 710 ESPN at 6 o'clock. And in the meantime, we're going to do some Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got some stuff for us. Lindsay, what do you got?
Well, guys, we're going to start off with rapper Notorious B.I.G. I don't know if you guys remember the photo of him that kind of – it's one of the most famous photos of him. And it's a picture of him sitting with a big crown on his head.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the crown, it recently was put up for auction, and it sold for nearly $600,000. Sotheby's Auctions House predicted the crown would sell for anywhere from between $200,000 to $300,000, but it far exceeded expectations and broke a world record by selling for $594,750. Guinness said the plastic crown, which is also signed by the rapper and the photographer from the photo shoot, set the record for the most expensive fancy dress costume crown sold at auction. Apparently, that's a thing.
Okay.
Have you ever spent an outrageous amount of money on an accessory or an item of clothing? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left. I live unbelievably frugally. I think I've got jeans that I wore in the 90s. I mean, I don't buy new clothes very often.
Yeah.
So no, I don't know.
You don't have one thing that you like splurged on that you spent a ton of money on.
I go to the Gap and I go to Ross Dress for Less, where you can find really good stuff.
Ross is like my favorite store. I love Ross.
I mean, I live my life on a budget. I didn't grow up with a lot of money, so now I'm really careful. So no, I don't think I bought any clothes.
But you also save your money for agriculture. You know, you save your money on vacations.
Pura Yesca.
I mean, it is Friday, right?
It is Friday. It's Friday.
What about you, Momo? Have you ever splurged on?
I have a couple of times. One time when I got I signed a new contract with ESPN. It was like the biggest contract I had gotten.
Nice. You know, so now you're bragging. Before, I love this. How big was it? How big was the contract?
I'm not gonna. I mean, it was
how many years?
4 years.
Just tell us how many
four
years. 4 year contract.
Yeah, nice. But it was like a while ago. And this was like a
you know what you should have done, Momo, with your deal. You should have done 2 years with the player option so that you could opt out and maybe get more money when the cap goes up.
Yeah, I've been doing that before. This time I just wanted as much for as long.
Anyway, back to your expensive clothes.
Anyway, and I remember I was in New York and I walked by the Coach store and I was like, ooh, I should get myself a Coach purse. And I walked in there and I started looking at them and they were all like $2,000 or something. So I bought the one that was like $400 and that felt like really ridiculous, but it's still a really nice purse. And I just wear it everywhere. It's the one that you always see me with.
I don't understand.
It's the
like
same
that
purse.
And then the Birkel bags that people pay so much money for.
Yeah, but I've gotten a lot of use out of my Coach bag. It's still the one I use.
All right. So it was worth it, sounds like.
You're going to laugh really hard at me, okay? This is a really embarrassing story.
Okay.
I was in Vegas 2 years ago for the WNBA All-Star Game, and I was doing a story on Liz Cambage, and she was going to DJ a party at like some kind of one of the resorts where they have an outdoor pool and whatever. And I was like, there, I have nothing to wear to something like this. I am not cool. I don't have any. I said, one of the afternoons that I was there, I'm going to go shopping at those cool boutiques. So I walked into the Stella McCartney store and I've always thought these were so cool. Stella McCartney makes these shoes that are like platform tennis shoes that are about 6 inches high. So I went from 5'2 to 5'8 in these shoes. And they're like $800. So they were so expensive. But they're really amazing. Like I'll show them to you. You'll be like, Momo, you should always
wear that's a
them.
Very fulsome answer, Momo. Let's go on to question number two.
Hopefully we have time for question number two now.
I don't know.
So really excited about those shoes. Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas is someone who feels like he's misunderstood and he wants his respect. Although Thomas was suspended for punching teammate CJ Gardner, and then the Saints apparently leaked a lot of negative information to him about the media, Thomas sent out some cryptic tweets, including indicating his unhappiness with the organization. One said, "Work on how you react when you feel disrespected." Another one said, "Think what you want. I ain't trying to clear no rumors up." Are his disgruntled comments enough to make the Saints trade him, or is this just another Keyshawn 2.0?
Wow.
There's nothing you can do. You can't do anything. There's nothing. We can't do We couldn't throw. We throw in interceptions.
That's classic Keyshawn. And of course, Michael Thomas is his nephew. That's from a long time ago. Was that from the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin show this morning, or was that something old?
Oh, no, that's old, man. That one's old.
Okay, got it. Here's the thing. Michael Thomas is too important to the Saints to even ponder the idea of trading him. I mean, he and Kamara are the two guys that make that offense go. Michael Thomas may be disgruntled. If I'm a general manager or if I'm a head coach, I'm going to do whatever I can to make Michael Thomas happy, because a happy Michael Thomas is going to give me a chance to win games.
Absolutely. Dude, when you're a star, you can do whatever you want. You can say whatever. He's right. By the way, he's right. He is too. Like, he's disgruntled. He's upset. He feels like, you know, he had a little injury for the first part of that, the first couple of games, but he got suspended, I guess, for punching a guy. But he doesn't – he knows he's the guy there, and he feels disrespected by the Saints for the way they've handled whatever he's upset about.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it when athletes are honest with us. I don't like everybody always conforming or saying the politically correct thing. That's how we feel. It's good. Thanks.
All right. Cool.
Did Keyshawn ever punch any guys when he was
No. Keyshawn had his hot moments. I mean, we knew Keyshawn when he was still a wide receiver at USC, releasing his Throw Me the Damn Ball book.
Yeah.
Keyshawn was precocious, but he was always a team player. I loved Keyshawn as a player. I thought he had a great career.
Yeah, and the fights, I think he just waits until they get their beaver sized. No.
Yes, exactly. Last one, all good
fun with Keyshawn. All right, guys. Conor McGregor tweeted on Wednesday that he's accepted a proposed fight against former interim UFC lightweight champion Dustin Poirier, set for January 23rd. In his announcement, he also made it known that he wants the fight to take place at AT&T Stadium, you know, Jerry's World, home of the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, who's never one to shy away from a big event, of course, he's on board with the idea, and he said so in an interview this morning. But UFC president Dana White completely disagrees. He said, "I'm not going into any arena where we're going to fill a quarter of the arena or half of the arena or any of that stuff. So when crowds are ready to come back, we'll do crowds again." Now, knowing that, you know, it's been okayed for them to have fans at AT&T Stadium, is UFC missing out on an opportunity to bring fans back?
No, they are not. They are following CDC guidelines and what doctors say and what scientists say and all that stuff. I know there are fans getting into things right now. Like, for example, in Miami, and this is a good hypothetical, the governor of Florida said Miami Dolphins are allowed to fill their stadium completely. Those are the state guidelines. Now, if you're the Miami Dolphins, Momo, do you do it?
No.
Yeah, no. And I don't think the NFL would do it. And I think
they do have limited number of fans at AT&T Stadium for Cowboys games.
Correct, they do. They do.
Yeah, but they're socially distanced and it's limited. I mean, it's,
right.
But
the same
so
thing
why
that
wouldn't you?
Her
point though is why wouldn't you do the same for UFC?
I agree. I think they should. And I understand what Dana's point is. Now listen, I have been talking to a lot of people, you know, around the NBA or other sports and how important it is to get fans back and how are we ever going to do that. You know, we hear about the vaccines and the monoclonal antibodies and the yada, yada, yada. Okay, there are other ways to get fans back. And I think that we are going to start hearing about them in a matter of weeks or months on how teams plan to get fans safely back into arenas. It involves high-level testing. It involves it's like all the science.
Well,
right?
Momo, on a mini level, Saturday Night Live is doing this.
Yeah,
so
that's
Saturday
right.
Night Live is working with an audience, and what they do is they rapid test every single person that comes into the building. They rapid test the staff, the crew. They rapid test the cast, and then they rapid test all of the people that are in the place, all the fans that come to see the show. So they know it's a safe environment.
Oh, and they also wear masks.
Right, but can you do that on a grand scale can you do that many rapid tests?
Okay, so here's the big question. The rapid testing that we are talking about now is called an antigen test. That is just the Abbott Labs, it's an antigen test. Not all that effective, okay? Not all that accurate. You have to have a rapid PCR test. And PCR is the gold standard. I'm sorry, I'm getting totally nerdy here. But that's the gold standard. That's the one that goes up your nose and
really,
and it usually takes 4 hours to come back. There are companies that are developing rapid PCR tests. They're going for emergency FDA approval. That's coming. It's not that far away. And as soon as we have that, then we can have fans back in the seats safely. But I don't think you can do it with just the antigen test. I don't think.
But Momo, that is thousands of tests.
It's millions of dollars. But you pay that to make millions of dollars.
Wow, that is really crazy.
You got to spend money to make money. Hey, you know what? That's a community service. You test all that many people.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's good. It's good to be tested. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
All right, Momo, thank you very much. Lindsay, thank you very much.
That was a major dork out right there. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, PCP and...
PCR. Can you tell I'm working on a story, you know?
Yeah. DNA.
Yeah, no.
All those. MDA, that's another one.
All the science. That's what you have to say. Just do all the science.
All the science. All right, so last night, a crushing night if you're a Dodgers fan. Crushing night. I thought last night was a win. I thought they have that 11-run inning in game number 3. They pulled it within one in the series, and we've got Kershaw going. We've got our ace going, and look what happened. Our lineup couldn't handle a rookie pitcher named Bryce Wilson, who threw basically a steady diet of fastballs, and the Dodgers just went up there and hacked away, lost all of the patient approach that they've been using during the regular season. And then on top of that, you get to the sixth inning, and Clayton Kershaw he's Clayton Kershaw. I mean, sixth inning, it's Clayton Kershaw. I want to give you a chance to react to what you saw last night. What would you do different? Are they dead? What do the Dodgers need to do as an organization moving forward? Some of you are criticizing Dave Roberts. Go ahead and vent. 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. We will get some of your calls in here next. And don't forget, Dodgers must-win game tonight in Houston. Dustin May versus the Braves bullpen. A.J. Minter is going to be the opener for them. Atlanta leads the series 3-1, and you can hear it right here on 710 ESPN at 6 o'clock tonight, right after George and LZ. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.